Look, in our country, it's always been one citizen, one vote. And under federal law, only citizens are allowed to vote in federal elections. Here's the tragic thing, Maria. Over the last three and a half years since the Biden administration has been in power, they've let in about 12 million illegal aliens, or an estimated nearly 30 million non-citizens in the United States. Currently, with the laws we have in place, the so-called Motor Voter Law, the National Voter Registration Act, you do still have to be a citizen to vote. But the Supreme Court has interpreted it as prohibiting those at the state level who register people to vote from requiring the production of evidence of documents proving citizenship, just like you have to show when you get, say, a passport. They're prohibited from asking for that. And so what that means is a person can fill out a form, as long as they check the right box and sign their name and are willing to lie, they can vote in federal elections, even if they're not citizens, and they couldn't prove it because they're not citizens. The SAVE Act would fix that loophole. It would make sure that actually it is going to be American citizens voting in federal elections. It would require the states to go in and review their voter registration files and eliminate those who are not citizens.
All right, that's the voice of Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee, who has become such a champion on so many things. I am so impressed with him. I really am. And he's talking about what we've been talking about, and that is the SAVE Act. The SAVE Act. He's the main sponsor. There are other senators who are sponsoring it with him. And then Chip Roy is the congressman who is sponsoring it in the House. And this week, as I've heard, this is my second discussion this week about this, and we'll talk to Cleta Mitchell for part two of our discussion on this because it's so important. It's so important. Is there anything really right now more important and more urgent than making sure this passes so that we can make sure that illegal immigrants are not voting in this election? Think of that. 30 million non-citizens are here in this country, and the Democrats are pressing for them to vote, making it possible. I in New York City, they're staying in these, you know, large, beautiful hotels, and there's a, I won't say NGO in New York, but there's a charity, they call them charities, who is responsible for placing them and, you know, getting them settled and overseeing them. And in their charter with New York State, they are required, whoever they are who are minding the store with the illegal immigrants in these hotels, they are required by the state to register these, to give them voter registration forms. So Cleta is going to fill in the blanks about a lot more. Part one, actually, we talked about this quite a bit, but you just have to understand that this bizarre thing that I'm describing is actually happening. They are registering them in Motor Voter, your local DMV. They're being told to go there. Every agency in the government, because of a Joe Biden executive order, has been instructed to spend their time since last year helping register people to vote. Anyone intersects there, even the Treasury Department, all of them, they've been instructed to make this a priority. So danger, danger, danger. And so what's our response? Well, we're fighting back, and you'll hear about where to go and how, you know, what to look for and how you can be involved in our discussion with Cleta. Just a few days ago, activists who blocked a D.C. abortion clinic have received a combined sentence of 23 years in prison. Paulette Harlow is 59, and she got something like 2 years. Lauren Handy, a co-defendant who organized the blockade of the clinic, was sentenced to 4 years and 9 months in prison. This is what's happening to people across our country because of the current administration and because of the fact that Roe versus Wade was overturned, and now the pro-abortion forces are doing everything they can to punish with the blessing and help of the Biden administration. But above politics and beyond it comes the ability to save babies through preborn. Preborn bypasses the kinds of restrictions we're talking about that make it impossible for people to make their voices known on this, and goes directly to the mom, and they are able to show through this high-definition ultrasound what the baby looks like in the womb. And most moms, when they see that baby and that image, choose to keep the baby or to adopt it out, but certainly not to terminate its life. That's why we're partnering with Preborn. If you go to preborn.com/Sandy and give your most generous donation, what you're paying for is ultrasound machines and a staff to give those ultrasounds to women in crisis pregnancy. Preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, by the way, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at, by the way, we've been getting a lot of phone calls, and we're going to be playing them in coming days here on the air, as many of them as we can. 662-821-2040 is our number, 662-821-2040. You can email us at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform. Our home base is AmericanFamilyRadio.net, AFR.net. You can listen very simply by going to my website, sandyrios.com. That makes it very simple. And you can find us on all kinds of social media platforms. And we hope that you will look and that you will tell people about the show. I'm going to read some of your emails soon. I've just gotten some really, really big encouragement from you. And I just so appreciate it. We're partnering in this. I'm doing my best to bring you information and my perspective. And the perspective I have, of course, is of many, many years in the trenches in D.C. and around the country, Chicago primarily, that was my home base, just understanding the players and how things work. But most of all, it's God's wisdom that I seek. And I pray and ask Him for wisdom all the time, every day. And so that's the secret sauce for me. Well, stay tuned to part two with Cleta Mitchell on the SAVE Act. And as I speak to you, and as the day is, it's going to be Wednesday the 10th, of July, we think the House is going to be voting on this today. So it is really urgent today, really urgent. And if you hear it a little bit later, the House is, the Senate's going to vote on it after the House passes it, God willing that the House will pass. So you need to let your voices be heard. So again, take out a pencil and paper, and I hope that you will diligently listen to this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
People getting involved and making phone calls and going to election offices and all can make a big difference.
Cleta, I want to talk about the SAVE Act, but be practical for a second, as you just were, because people are going to ask me, well, how can I get involved? Because they're everywhere, all over the country. And so what's that one thing we can give them where they can actually get involved and equipped and do something?
Well, one thing you can do is you can go to the website. We've created the OnlyCitizensVoteCoalition.com. That's OnlyCitizensVoteCoalition.com. Sign up. We do a weekly newsletter. We've got toolkits and instructions. We're working on giving people the opportunity and way materials, actual materials that they can download and print in their local areas that they can take to their local Department of Motor Vehicles. Go observe what's happening at your local Department of Motor Vehicles and find out what are you doing. I've had people email me and call me and tell me they were getting their driver's license renewed. They saw a group of people coming in who couldn't speak English. They were led by somebody who had interpreter on her big sign that she was the interpreter, getting them all driver's licenses. A group of citizens need to go in and see the manager of that DMV and say, what are you doing to make sure that you're not registering these people to vote? We see these people who are coming in. They don't speak English. They're clearly not citizens. Are you registering them to vote? And going into their local election offices and looking, just look at the recent registrations. Do they fall into, are there a lot of foreign names? It's not just Hispanic. It's Chinese. It's Arabic. We're seeing, people from all these foreign countries. Are there groups of new voters that you may need to go and then look and see where do they, what is the residence, where do they live, and go back to the election offices and say, what are you doing? I cannot emphasize enough that citizen involvement in asking questions and shining a light on this is the only way we are going to be able to deter massive numbers of illegals voting in November.
Yeah. All right. So only Citizens Vote Coalition.com. Only
Coalition.com. Only Citizens Vote Coalition.com. And okay. We're going to have resources. We're just working now that, where people can download and where they can print lapel stickers that they can wear around and hand out to people. Only Citizens Vote. We're translating signs into multiple languages to show that that they can put up in election offices and in DMVs to take to these and social services agencies. Don't forget, it's not just the DMVs. When people go in to get welfare benefits or sign up for food stamps and all, they're required to register people to vote. And as we said, they don't have to be citizens to get these benefits, even though that's what Congress has said, that you have to be here so long before you're eligible, that this administration is handing out tens of billions of dollars worth of benefits to these illegals. So
yeah,
we haven't been, as citizens, used to going into these agencies and offices. And so, you know, we have to be respectful because obviously we're the ones that always get criticized. But we have to have courage and we have to be watchdogs. We have to have a nation of watchdogs.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to rekindle that spirit or we're going to lose our country. Now, the Axios is reporting, let's go back to D.C. now, because this week the SAVE Act is going to be discussed and voted on in some form or fashion. I believe in the House for sure. I'm not sure about the Senate. We'll talk about it. But the Democrats, according to Axios and other outlets, Cleta, are bringing out, as they say, the big guns to fight the SAVE Act. So they're all over stopping it. Yep, they're all over stopping it.
Right.
Yeah. So
right. The bill is Safeguarding American Voter Eligibility, SAVE Act, and it is the principal sponsor is Chip Roy from Texas, but there are 104 co-sponsors and a number of others who didn't get their names in time. And Speaker Johnson has made this a top priority, and it is going to be on the House floor either Wednesday or Thursday of this week.
Okay, all right. See, that I didn't know. And so, yeah, Speaker Johnson's been all in on this, as I understand. He actually issued, I think, a 22-page brief to members. And
yes.
So, but yes. Kayla, do you have any idea what that, you know, the licking the finger, holding it up in a Congress, do you think any Democrats at all will support this? I know that the Republicans don't need them to pass it, but what is your thought about that?
Well, it's very interesting because a few weeks ago, there was a bill on the floor of the House to overturn a District of Columbia law that was passed, and Congress has the authority to overturn any law passed by the District of Columbia because under the Constitution, Congress actually is the legislature for the District of Columbia. And, you know, somebody thought at some point in time it was a good idea to give D.C. home rule. Having lived there for over 20 years, I can tell you that was not a very good idea.
No.
But the D.C. Council adopted a law allowing non-citizens to vote in D.C. elections. I promise you, they contend, well, they can't vote in federal elections for president. Well, I promise you, D.C. is so disorganized, they couldn't possibly they can barely keep one voter list managed. They didn't do that very well, and now they're going to say they have two. But just imagine that the people who live and work for the Communist Chinese Embassy can vote in D.C. elections. People who are in the Russian Embassy can vote in D.C. elections. And so there was a bill to overturn that. And the Republicans all voted for it. And there were 55 Democrats who voted with the Republicans to overturn that. And I think that's why the Democrat leadership is whipping this, because they know that the polls show that the public supports then the principle that only citizens should be voting in U.S. elections, and I think they're afraid that they'll lose a bunch of their Democrat colleagues if you're going to side with the Republicans. This isn't a partisan issue. It shouldn't be a partisan issue. But no. I think they're just worried. They don't want to get embarrassed like they were on the other. They shouldn't have been embarrassed by that earlier vote. They should have been proud. They all should have voted for it. It should have been unanimous. But there are only 55 out of 213 Democrats who voted for the bill to overturn the D.C. non-citizen voting law.
Well, I'm just grateful to hear that the Republicans stuck together, because we're, you know, having trouble getting them to do that sometimes. But the SAVE Act, you started to explain it earlier, Cleta. So the first part, it sets requirements for states to verify U.S. citizenship. What else does it do?
Well, and it's really important that one, that first piece, it requires, see, the Motor Voter Bill, the National Voter Registration Act, the Bill Clinton bill, it requires every state to accept and use a federal voter registration form. So the states have to use this form. And on it, it says, the first question is, are you a U.S. citizen? Check the box, yes or no. But the Supreme Court has said, but the states are not allowed to then require that somebody prove when they check the box they actually are a citizen. So this would overturn that Supreme Court decision and say, yes, not only can states require it, they must require. They must require documentary proof of citizenship in order to be added to the voter rolls. It also requires that every state must review its current voter list and confirm citizenship status of everyone on the voter list, and it also makes it a federal crime for anyone to knowingly register a person to vote if they know that that person is not a U.S. citizen. So it starts to put some teeth into this massive effort by left-wing groups to register non-citizens.
I brought this up yesterday at church because I wanted people to know what was happening, Cleta, and several people said, well, how would I prove my citizenship? And I think that's part of this, too. How would people prove their citizenship?
Well, there is a list of about 15 different types of documentation that somebody can provide. A passport, if you have a valid U.S. passport, because you can't get a passport in the first place unless you prove you're a citizen. So you've already proven that documentation by providing the documentation when you got a passport. So a passport is proof of citizenship. A birth certificate showing that you were born in the United States or a territory. There are a number of other documents listed in the bill that a person could utilize to prove citizenship. But, you know, when people start, when these people ask this question, have they gone and gotten their real ID? I mean, next year, this law that was passed by Congress after 9/11 to create a real ID to board an air flight, any commercial flight, or to have access to go onto any federal military installation, you have to have a real ID. And to get that real ID, you have to take to the DMV your proof of citizenship. So millions of people have already done that across the country. It's supposed to take effect next year. It's supposed to originally take effect in 2020, but now it's supposed to take effect in May of 2025. So anyone who's got a real ID, which you're going to have to board an airplane starting next year, unless you show a passport, you can show a passport to board a plane, but you're not going to be able to board an airplane if you don't have a real ID. And so there is... I'm surprised that people would say, well, how would I prove my citizenship? Well, your birth certificate, your passport, and then there's a list of another dozen or so types of documents. But the most common ones available to people would be the birth certificate or the passport.
Okay. Well, people, enough people ask it, that means that people listening are going to be asking it, too. And the SAVE Act does cover that. That's the point, too, of the discussion. So,
yes.
So this is great stuff. Now, okay, let's move to the Senate. I know that Senator Lee has really been working hard on this, and he has some partners on this, as I understand it. And they're trying to get all the Republican senators to sign on to this. And I don't know if you know about that initiative or where it stands, Cleta. I know they have seven. Kevin Cramer,
well,
Ted
Cruz.
I'm trying
to remember how many they have on the bill. I know that they were working hard to get a number before, so it wasn't just Senator Lee when it was originally filed. I think there were 7 or 8 or 10 Republicans
I can mention them. I want to. It's Senator Kevin Cramer, Ted Cruz, Tommy Tuberville, Roger Marshall, Ted Budd, John Kennedy, and Rick Scott. Those were the initial, before the letter was sent out, I guess they were the co-signers with Mike Lee.
You know, one of the things that's interesting is that John Fetterman from Pennsylvania,
he's
a Democrat, but he has been saying, why wouldn't we all support this? We shouldn't be letting non-citizens vote in our elections. So I think that's why the Democrat leaders are suddenly now trying to keep Democrats from voting for the bill, because at some point, you know, they're going to have to deal with the fact that the American people supports putting a stop to any non-citizen voting. It's not a Democrat or Republican issue among the voters. It's just these elites in D.C. and the national, you know, left-wing intelligentsia that think we're all idiots and they're the only ones that know anything. And what they hate is the fact that most Americans, regardless of party affiliation, support the principle that only U.S. citizens should be voting in our elections.
I think one of the trick things, of course, it's a D.C.-centric thing, but it's important, and that is that will Chuck Schumer bring it up for a vote in the Senate? Because you know he's firmly against this.
I think that depends on how many votes, how many Democrats in the House vote for it. And that may be the very thing they're trying to do, is to try to keep any momentum from on the Democrat side so that there's not pressure on Schumer to bring it up in the Senate. But we just have, you know, look, all we can do is the best we can do. And if people are listening to this and they have Democratic U.S. House member, call that House member. They're back in Washington today. They're all in a Twitter because of their situation with Joe Biden. But, you know, if I were a lot of those House members, I would not want to be voting against something that's wildly popular at the same time when they've got these problems with the person who is their nominee, presumptive nominee for another term, 4 years of horrible Joe Biden policies.
Yes, and so we're doing everything we can, all of us. This is all we can do. Clita, you're right. All we can do is all we can do. But the problem is not everyone's giving their all. And that's what we're encouraging. All of us are in this together. I, again, say, I've been watching that John Adams biopic, which is on, I don't know what it's on.
Fabulous.
Right now. And I've watched it several times before. I just finished the book again. And the only thing I that just struck me, yesterday I just cried, actually, Clita, because we saw the nitty-gritty through John Adams' life, his letters to his wife and her letters back to him, how they persevered. Because we almost lost the country within a decade of it being founded. There were so many fights and infighting and division. We think that's only now. No, it isn't, because human nature is human nature. And people like John Adams probably primarily bore the weight of those divisions and gave his all, he and his wife, to try to save this republic. And so people like Clita are doing the same, and many other friends that we have, mutual friends in D.C. and around the country. And so I'm just asking all of you, as I do all the time, you can do something, say something, do something. And this, because the election's hurtling down the pike and we know how many uncertainties there are, you can go to onlycitizensvotecoalition.com and find information about how you can actually get involved and do something on this particular issue, because I know each and every one of you are saying, what can I do? You can also call your congressman, call your senator about the SAVE Act. Clita, you have information on the SAVE Act on that Only Citizen Voting Coalition.
We do.
Right?
We do. Yeah. And if people will sign up, we do a weekly e-newsletter that talks about what's going on in Washington and what's going on around the country, and also has resources and a toolkit for people to use wherever they live, and we're going to just keep adding to it, and it goes out every week, and we're going to continue to send it out every week through the rest of the year.
Clita, are you optimistic about this November? About the ability to have a clear and fair election is what I'm asking.
If we have a fair election and they follow the law, yes, it will be a landslide in our favor. But if we do not engage and make sure that they don't pull things, that they know they're being watched, there's a whole other topic, Sandy, so I'll come back and talk about this later. But there's a big push by the left to keep us from to keep citizens from challenging or asking questions. They are actually paying Republican leaders in states to join with them to say, oh, we have to not ask any questions. We don't want to undermine faith in the election. We want to support the election administrators and election officials. Don't ask questions, just support them. Does this sound a lot like Fauciism to you? It does to me. And so there's a big push for them to keep us quiet. And whenever anybody says to me, don't ask questions, sit down, you know, pat me on the head, we got it handled. Anytime anybody says, don't worry about it, I've got it handled, that's when I start to worry. So we have to be asking questions. We have to be polite. We have to be correct. We don't want to be disruptive. We've never been disruptive. But there is a real push that's getting bigger and bolder. I'm watching it unfold just in the last 60 days in ways I hadn't imagined. And part of it is they don't want us to look behind what's going on. They don't want us to pull the curtain back and say, are these people eligible to vote that you're trotting in here to vote? So it's a challenge for us. I am optimistic if we can keep the light, if we can keep shining a light on every election office in America, and then I think that I think that our side has a chance to prevail. But I'm really focused on the election process and election system because that's where this is going to be won or lost.
Yep. Okay. I agree with you, Cleta, and I'm always so grateful for all that you do. You are probably
I'm thankful for all you do, Sandy.
One of the most thorough, diligent people I've ever known in this and in the business that we do, Cleta, which is whatever that business is, trying to preserve the country. anyway,
but,
okay. So, Cleta, again, senior legal fellow at a conservative.
Partnership Institute.
And the founder of the Election Integrity Network. Cleta, it's always a pleasure. So thank you for your time and for your hard work on behalf of the country.
Thank you, Sandy.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Sentences of several pro-life protesters at a D.C. clinic, and they got a combined, according to the courts, 23 years in prison just a few days ago. Some of them are not young. They were there to protest and make their voices heard, but, you know, we're not allowed to do that now. So the sentences in the case range from 10 months for Jay Smith. He entered a guilty plea, and then, you know what, there's nothing wrong with that. If you did something that obstructed or whatever, then, you know, if you're going to do this, you take the consequences. That's how I view it. You don't then fight, you know, say that whine that you got a sentence or had to go to jail. These are the kinds of courage, this is the kind of courage it requires for us to fight the things we're fighting. If we feel that they are immoral, then that's what it's required. So I admire Jay for pleading guilty. I'm assuming that he was guilty of doing something. Jonathan Darnell got 2 years and 10 months. He stayed outside the clinic during the blockade and live streamed it. So for live streaming the event, he got 2 years and 10 months. It's outrageous, but this is the world in which we live. And that's why preborn is such a great way to put your money and your resources if your heart is to save babies. And I know it is. So they provide ultrasounds so that moms can see their babies and make a good choice for the babies and for them. If you want to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
Have you had a full neurological and cognitive evaluation?
I get a full neurological test every day with me. And I've had a full physical. I had, you know, I mean, I've been a Walter Reed for my physicals. I mean, yes, the answer.
I know your doctor said he consulted with a neurologist. I guess I'm asking a slightly different question. Have you had the specific cognitive tests, and have you had a neurologist, a specialist, do an examination?
No one said I had to. No one said, they said I'm good.
Okay, so that's the President of the United States in an interview with George Stephanopoulos, and you heard what George asked him. This is ABC. You know, have you had a cognitive test? And finally, he sums it up, well, no one asked me for it. You know, no one said I had to have one. Okay, so we are all concerned about his cognitive, because he's supposed to be the President of the United States. And if you're just learning this, he has had problems with the cognitive since he was running from his basement. Why do you think they kept him in the basement? Joe has been slipping for a very long time, and even before he slipped, his cognitive was not good. He's not a very smart man. I'm just telling you, as unkind as that sounds, I've watched him through the years do, and he's mean, dumb, mean, hurting people, lashing out. This is Joe. What you've seen is who he has been for decades. In spite of that smile that glimmers, you can almost see the little twinkle, you know, on the camera when he brings displays that big smile. Listen, he's a corrupt man and a wicked man. And so that's not changed. And that's why I don't mind telling you that he's not very smart. He's smart. Like, have you ever seen people that are like wicked smart? Like, they know how to hurt you. They know how to really do bad things to hurt or, you know, clog the works. But they're not necessarily smart people. He's one of those people. All right, so he hasn't had a cognitive test. And yet he's the President of the United States. So why am I talking about this now? Because we have an election coming up in November, and it is relevant to our discussion today about illegal immigrants voting, because as they're coming up that pass that's coming up from Mexico, they're being encouraged to vote for him. I saw a video clip of that. I think I played it on the show a few months ago, where they're encouraged, they're being told to vote for Joe Biden. This is bizarre. This is like Twilight Zone. You cannot make this stuff up. Okay, so Joe says, no, you know, nobody asks for a cognitive. I don't need it. I have a cognitive test every day. I get up and go into the Oval Office. Well, let's just check out this little clip. You can laugh if you want because it's pretty funny, but it's so pathetic.
By the way, I'm proud to be, as I said, the first vice president, first black woman to serve with a black president.
Okay, so he's proud to be a black man. The first black man to serve with a black president. His cognitive is great, and no one has mentioned it. There's just no problem here. We all know that's not true. And so here's the irony. CNN did a report where this guy's interviewing two talk show hosts. Now, they all happen to be black, and he makes this startling discovery, which will explain to you and I why maybe some people have managed not to see the failings of his mind earlier because, well, they're providing the questions to the host, so he's prepared for all of it. If you don't believe it, this is from CNN, clip 4.
Andrea, let me ask you here about your interviews and something. I listened to both of them, and there's something that's similar here. You each were, you asked 4 questions, and maybe that's what you were allowed to ask by the campaign or the White House, but they were essentially the same questions, both interviews, about accomplishments, progress in your respective state, what's at stake in the election, what he has to say about his debate performance, and what he would say to voters who think their vote doesn't matter or might sit this election out. were those questions given to you by the White House, or did you have, or the campaign, or did you have to submit questions ahead of this interview?
The questions were sent to me for approval. I approved them.
Okay, so the White House sent the questions to you ahead of the interview?
Yes.
Okay.
And I got several questions, eight of them, and the four that were chosen were the ones that I approved.
Okay. And the reason I ask is not a criticism of either of you. It's just that if the White House is trying now to prove the vim, vigor, acuity of the president, I don't know how they do that by sending questions first before the interview so that the president knows what's coming. Let me play here a bit of your interview. This is, and you've probably seen, it's gotten a lot of attention. This is when he was asked about his accomplishments as president. Let's play it.
I'm proud to be, as I said, the first vice president, first black woman to serve with a black president.
Okay, so that's a repeat, but I wanted you to hear it. So here's the thing. Even having the questions, this is what he said. I'm proud to be the first black woman to serve with a black president. That's bizarre, and of course, from a very confused mind. And even with the questions, he couldn't pull it off. And it really is shocking and disgusting. I have a different standard as a talk show host. I always have, and it's kind of stubbornness in me. I don't do questions that people send me. I just don't. I never have. I want to do my own prep, my own questions. If I know the subject matter, I have my own questions. But to have a presidential candidate or any candidate tell me what questions to ask when I'm trying to get to the bottom of whether they're qualified, No, that is not acceptable. But we know that Joe Biden has gotten questions in debates. We know exactly that this in press conferences, he knows who he's supposed to call on. He knows what their question's going to be. This is the big game that they've been playing. But it's getting impossible to cover up his Joe Biden's confusion. I'll give you another example. Stephanopoulos asked him about the crowds that he's drawing. This is clip six.
What's your plan to turn the campaign around?
You saw it today. How many people can you get draw crowds like I drew today? You find me any more enthusiastic than today? Huh?
I mean, I don't think you want to play the crowd game. Donald Trump can draw big crowds. There's no question about that.
He can draw a big crowd, but what does he say? Who does he have? I'm the guy supposedly in trouble. We raised $38 million within 4 days after this. We have over a million individual contributors, less than $200. I've not seen what you're proposing.
So, have you seen my crowds? No, who can draw crowds like I can, George? Who could, did you see that? Are there anybody any more enthusiastic than my crowds? So do I need to fill in the blanks? Has anybody that? Seen a Trump rally on television? Anybody been to one? But nothing like Joe's. Nothing like Joe's, according to Joe. The world, according to Joe Biden, who is delusional and not sick. I'm not sick, not well. He has a sick mind. He was asked how he performed the night of the debate, and he had an answer. He had an answer. In fact, he addressed it twice. This would be clip seven.
Did you ever watch the debate afterwards?
I don't think I did, no.
Well, what I want to get at is, what were you experiencing as you were going through the debate? Did you know how badly it was going?
Yeah, look, the whole way I prepared, nobody's fault but mine.
But it seemed like you were having trouble from the first question in, even before he spoke.
Well, I just had a bad night.
And then, of course, we know from clips I played last week, remember Jill Biden, when she appeared in North Carolina the day after that horrible debate, and she said, Trump lied! He lied! And she had that whole crowd, you know, what did Trump do? He lied! That's their mantra now. And, of course, Joe Biden had to weigh in on that, too, in his interview with George Stephanopoulos. Let's listen.
Trump is a pathological liar. Trump is, he is, have you ever seen anything Trump did that benefited somebody else and not him? You can't answer, I know.
I've questioned him and his allies as persistently as any journalist has.
No, I know you have. I'm not being critical.
Yeah.
I'm not being critical. But look, I mean, the man is a congenital liar. As I said, they pointed out in that debate, he lied 27, 28 times the times or whatever number, over 20 times.
Okay, so Trump is a pathological liar. He is a congenital liar. He lied, what, 29 times, he said. Okay, so I could tackle this myself, but I think the best thing to do is to go back in time, because I've told you I've watched Joe Biden for decades. And this goes back maybe 30 years, maybe 40 years, I don't know. Lost track a little bit. But this is Joe Biden's MO. Anyone who's watched him in D.C. all of these years knows this is the way it is with Joe Biden. Let's listen.
The new questions stem from taped remarks of Biden during an April campaign appearance in New Hampshire.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree, not 3.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law School. I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right. His memory had failed him.
And I'd be delighted to sit down and compare my IQ to yours if you'd like, Frank.
Joe Biden was victimized by the truth.
Bye-bye Biden. He may not know it yet, but I think this is going to be very difficult for him to recover.
Is Joe Biden dead meat, yes or no?
I think so.
Bob.
He's in terminal condition.
Terminal? Eleanor.
Yes, unless he comes in third in Iowa.
Morton.
Dying.
I say dead.
He says dead. All right, so that's an old clip, but, you know, it's been going on for years. He lied about his marriage to Jill and how he met her. I mean, they were having an affair when his wife was still alive. Her husband and Jill were working for his campaign. He lied about knowing about Hunter's business associates. He lies about just about everything. He is, you know, he went after Corn Pop because he was a bad dude. We could go on and on with the ridiculous things that Joe Biden has said. I think he's run for president. I believe this is the third. I think he ran 3 times, maybe 4. He always wanted to be. He finally got it. And this is what we got. We got a guy who cannot tell the truth. What he says about President Trump is true about him. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, it's so important that we have a free and fair election in November. And that's why the SAVE Act is so important. It's so important that it passes the House, that it passes the Senate. And we've already talked to you about what you can do to help make that happen. Go to OnlyCitizensVoteCoalition.com and equip yourself. It's not that big a deal. You just pull out what you want. The SAVE Act is pretty easy to understand. And talk to your congressman. Talk to your senator. Insist that they vote. And really, you could even use Elon Musk's verbiage. It is traitorous. It's treason. If you represent your country and you are willing to expedite illegal immigrant prisoners from Venezuela, Chinese nationals, jihadis, if you think they should be able to vote, you should be out of office and you sure as heck should vote for the SAVE Act. And if you don't, we are all suspicious, okay? So there you go. There's your marching orders. I don't think the problem is that the Democrats and the never-Trumpers are entrenched. It isn't really about Joe Biden to them. It's just that they hate President Trump. And if you don't believe me, listen to MSNBC's Joy Reid. Let's listen. This is clip 11.
Just let me know when you guys are finished figuring it out, Democrats, because I know y'all the freak out people. Go ahead and freak out. Have your conversation. And then let me know who I got to vote for to keep Hitler out the White House. That's it. I'm done. Oh, and by the way, if it's Biden in a coma, I'm going to vote for Biden in a coma. I don't even really particularly like the guy. A lot of his policies, don't like him. He's not Donald Trump, right? Yeah. Hitler, White House. We keeping him out.
So Donald Trump is Hitler, and Joe Biden, even if he's comatose, she's going to vote for him. And I know a lot of people feel that way. It's so irrational. How did we become so stupid? How did we become so stupid? A lot of people are predicting that Kamala Harris is going to be the candidate. I want to go on record as saying I think they're crazy. They're out of their ever-loving minds. I just want to tell you, the Democrats smell victory. They smell winning it all. There's no way in God's green earth they're going to allow Kamala Harris to be the candidate to replace Joe Biden. I don't know what that's going to look like. I have no idea. And Joe may not step down. He says he's not going to. So, but that's why it so matters that we pay attention about all of these details, because so much is at stake. For one thing, you can't sit this out. You can't sit this election out. I know a lot of Christians do. They fancy. This is true that God is sovereign. I tell you that all the time. But they fancy that somehow that is separate from their personal responsibility to actually do something. You know, if God is sovereign in that way, then why do you go to the store and buy food? Why doesn't it just appear on your table? If God wants you to eat, he'll provide it, right? It doesn't work that way. You know it doesn't work that way. We are his hands and feet, and we have no idea what he wants or what he has determined or what he foreknows. We don't know. And so that's why we have to do what's right. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and just doesn't do it, to him it is sin. So now you've been presented with something pretty specific that you can do to try to stop what's happening. Because if you don't, you will regret it. You will regret it probably every day of the rest of your life. If Joe Biden is elected again, we think this past 4 years, nearly 4 years, have been bad. We think of all the things that have been implemented, the policies, immigration alone, you know, some 15 extra million coming across the border, a total of 30 million non-citizens, and that's just one thing. Then there's forcing girls to shower with transgender women, you know, forcing them to do sports. It's a perverse abortion for all 9 months. It's all of that. So it's all of that. That's the future of your children. That's the future of your children. And so sit up straight and get busy. Say something and do something. All right. I want to thank our sponsors, as always. Timothy Plan is our brand new sponsor. You can put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, you can call us at 662-821-2040. You might have a thing or two to say today. You can send an email at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to the podcast on sandyrios.com. That's very easy. AFR.net is our home base. Apple, Spotify, wherever podcasts are posted, there we are. I want to thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.